Let us turn to the 23rd Psalm, turning to the Psalm 23. It's good to have the Sunday school with us. And after the sermon today, the prizes for the Sunday school children for doing the examinations will be distributed. The Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We know God will add his own blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word today. As we think about it, as we contemplate it, we pray you would speak to our hearts, that we will hear your voice calling us, and that we will know the shepherd to be close by. In the Savior's name we ask all of this. Amen. And amen. Last time, I commenced a brief series of messages upon the 23rd Psalm. I just felt with the upheaval there is in the world, with the war between Russia and Ukraine, with the uncertainty that's abroad, with the rising prices, with the economic situation that we're facing this year, I just felt we all needed a word of encouragement. And where better place to go for encouragement than the 23rd Psalm? And so I just felt it was right before the Lord that I take a few weeks and think about the Psalm 23. Last time we thought about the good shepherd's pastures, and we're dealing with the good shepherd for troubled times. And what a blessing it is to have a Savior. Can we even begin to imagine what it is like to go through all of the problems and troubles of life without Christ? And if you don't know the Lord, that's your position. It is my prayer for you that you will come to know this good shepherd. But we thought about the good shepherd's pastures, and today we're going to think about the good shepherd's paths from the verse 3. And tonight we're going to think about the good shepherd's presence from verse 4. And then we will bring the study to a close next Lord's Day evening as we look at the verses 5 and 6 with the good shepherd's promise. But let's look at the good shepherd's paths today. He restoreth my soul in verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now this verse 3 reminds us that this psalm is not about the body. This psalm's about the soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Suddenly, David takes us beyond those green pastures and those still waters, which give us a very physical illustration drawn from his experience as a shepherd. And he now brings us to the heart, to the soul. He now talks about righteousness. He now talks about restoration. He now talks about our need spiritually before the Lord, and how this good shepherd is one that ultimately shepherds us spiritually through the changing scenes of life. And yes, the Lord does care about our bodies. The Lord cares about material needs. And he supplies all of these things for us. And we should be continually grateful. And we should employ those words, give us this day our daily bread. And we should be mindful of all of that. But we should also be mindful of the fact that the spiritual is more important than the physical. Because the physical is a fading thing, a dying thing. But the spiritual is that which is eternal. And the spiritual is the real you, the real me. What is going on inside our hearts, our souls? That is what we truly are before God. And while we may look at each other and we see the external, only God sees the heart. And he is a shepherd who cares for the heart. Just think about some of the ways in which God does care for the soul. He rescues the soul. Sometimes we sing that hymn, "A Brand for the Burning." He rescued me. He rescues the soul from hell. He regenerates the soul. He gives new life. Without Christ, we are dead in sin. But he comes and he makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He reanimates the soul. Sometimes we feel dispirited, we feel despondent, we feel down, we are just discouraged. We need reanimated. We need to be inspired. And the psalmist talked about that in the Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. And we need to fix our hopes upon the Lord again when we are feeling troubled and discouraged. He reanimates the soul. He revives the soul. And we need a spirit of revival in these days of turning away from God. When the love of many is waxing cold, we need revival, but we cannot work up revival. Only God can revive us, and revival happens when God's Spirit is poured out upon His people. And suddenly, God's people are full of renewed spiritual vigor for Him. Oh, may the Lord send revival. Our land needs that. But then He restores the soul. And the restoration of the soul is very much tied to these paths of righteousness. And I want to tell you why. And I'm talking about the restoration of the soul in preparation for looking at these paths of righteousness. Because if a sheep is going to be in the paths, the sheep has to be in its feet. It has to be walking. And if the sheep is lying down, the sheep is not walking. It can't walk in the paths of righteousness. Now, there's a difference between the lying down in verse 2 and the lying down in verse 3. The lying down in verse 2 is a lying down at ease. But the lying down in verse 3 is a lying down in distress. Because this phrase, restoring the soul, it refers to the sheep in a position of great distress. I quoted earlier from the psalmist in the Psalm 42, verse 5, where he talked about being cast down, being cast down. And the way the word cast would have been used, whenever the King James Version was translated, it would have referred to somebody that is lying down in a helpless condition, cast. And in shepherding terms, when the sheep was cast, the sheep was on its back, unable to get back onto its feet again. And when a sheep is lying down in that way, on its back, it's not lying there to rest, it's ended up on its back, cannot turn over. Gases fill up in the body of the sheep and it becomes poisoned and will die. Or before it dies, the grey crows can come down and start pecking at it, and the poor creature ends up suffering horribly as a consequence of all of that. So the sheep is exposed to danger, it's exposed to death because it has ended up on its back. And whenever that happens, the sheep needs restored. It needs to be gently turned over and put back on its feet again. And I was thinking about that and how that applies so particularly to us as Christians. How often we need the Lord to come and restore us. Like the sheep who, for some careless reason, has ended up on his back and is rolling about there on his back, can't get up. And how often we can end up in that kind of helpless position as God's people. We dabble in some form of sin, some form of temptation. We get away from the Lord and suddenly we feel as if we'll never be used by the Lord again. Suddenly we feel so cast down and so dispirited and so bound by our own sinfulness, by our own weariness. We feel as if we'll never be walking in those paths of righteousness again. Perhaps I'm talking to someone today and you've lost out with the Lord. And you've ended up in a position where you're just in your back. And you're not going forward for Christ. You're not walking in those paths of righteousness. You've lost out with the Lord, and the sheep is exposed to the predator lying there on its back. In this country, to the grey crows, and other countries to a wolf lying there on its back, just exposed to danger. And I was thinking about the grey crows and how they can come down and attack the sheep that's lying there on its back. And the Lord talks about the birds of the air, and he talks about the birds of the air being like the devil. And whenever the seed is lying on the wayside, the birds of the air come and they take it up. And he said, that's the devil. Every time the seed is sown, every time the word is preached, he says, the devil comes. And that's a solemn thing, to think that in God's house today, the devil is here, taking away the seed. Because if there's one thing the devil doesn't want, he doesn't want the word of God to take root in your life. And he wants to be there. He wants to pluck it up. He wants to present us all kinds of reasons why the word isn't applicable to me. Why the word shouldn't be lived out in my life. Why it's there for someone else. It's not for me. And he gives us all kinds of reasons. The devil is there. And if you're trying to ignore God's word today, that's the work of the devil himself, the birds of the air. And what a destructive influence the devil is. And he will seek to destroy the people of God. And that's his aim, that's his ambition, to bring Christians down. And how good it is that we have a good shepherd. And he's there to put us right. He's there to put us right. To put us on our feet. To restore our souls. Just three simple thoughts before I come to look at these paths of righteousness. How does he restore our souls? How does he restore our souls? He does it through perception. When the farmer goes out and checks the sheep, he looks and he sees a sheep there on his back. He sees. And the Lord sees us. He sees us in our need. And he loves us because we're his sheep. We're precious to him. He loves us and he cares for us. We must always remember that. Whenever we carry about guilt, whenever we carry about a sense of our own helplessness, our own uselessness, the Lord looks upon us. He loves us. Sometimes we find it hard to love ourselves. But he loves us. Just think of the rich young ruler. And he, of course, was turning away from the Savior, but the Lord looked at him. He loved him. The Lord loves all of his people today and all of our needs, the perception. And then there's the performance, because he gently lifts us. He gently lifts us. And the arms of the Good Shepherd, the strong arms of the Good Shepherd, doing for us what no one else can do. And there is prevention, because when the sheep's wool is very, very heavy, it's more prone to being cast down, ending up on his back. More prone to that. And so when the wool is shorn, that was a problem that is less likely to happen. And I was thinking about that and thinking about what the book of Hebrews talks about, is, you know, we need to run with patience the race that is set before us, and lay aside each weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And when we carry about sins, well, we're prone to be cast out, and we need to put those sins away. And that's where prevention, we often say prevention is better than the cure. And so I think whenever we think of our souls being restored, we need to analyze our own hearts. We need to analyze our own lives. We need to look at where the dangers are. We need to look at those red lights. And we need to see where the trouble lurks. And we need to see the situations that could so easily bring us down. We need to see what we're dabbling in that could ruin our testimony. And we need to cry unto God to have mercy upon us. But thank God he's forgiving. Where would we have been but for the Good Shepherd? I am often caused to remark upon the words of Psalm 27, verse 13. Quote them in prayer. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And there David was saying, unless I had saw God's goodness, where would I have been? I had fainted. But then God's goodness was there. Where would any of us be but for the goodness of the Lord? Thank God we have a shepherd who restores us. Maybe you have lost out with the Lord today. There's a good shepherd who loves you. He is married to the backslider, and he gives us back the years. And years, that's a long time. Long time. Wasted years. There used to be a song, Christian song, about the wasted years. But he can give back the years that the locusts have eaten. He restoreth my soul. And you know, we'll never walk in the paths of righteousness. We'll never walk in those paths unless we are restored. And so we need the shepherd to put us on our feet and to keep us on our feet, that we might serve him. And so as a people who are on their feet, we need to pray that we are on our feet. We need to walk these paths of righteousness. So he not only restores our soul, but he leadeth me, the psalmist said, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The good shepherd's paths. We need to be led by him in these paths. And it's a dependency upon the shepherd. Throughout this psalm, it's a dependency upon the shepherd. And there's a dependency upon the shepherd here. Because like the sheep, we have a tendency to wander. There's no one here that doesn't have a tendency to go astray. One shepherd said to me that sheep aren't the most clever of creatures, but there's one thing they're experts at. They're experts at going astray. They're very good at that. And that is exactly the way we are. We're experts at going astray. Let's face up to that. Psalm 53 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You know, we need the shepherd to keep us and to lead us and to guide us in these paths of righteousness. For without him leading us and guide us, we'll never find the paths of righteousness. We'll never be in them. And these paths that aren't the paths of righteousness. And you know, there are paths in this world. There are directions that we can take on our feet. And they'll take us the wrong way. Ways of sin, ways of temptation. Ways that are filled with our own desires. The backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. The ways filled with our own foolish notions, our own ideas. Ways filled with our own pride. John Bunyan talked about the pilgrim going into Bypath Meadow. We went into Bypath Meadow because Bypath Meadow looked an easier path than the path that the master had set out for him. The path the master had set out for him was a hard path. It was a rocky path. It was a stony path. But Bypath Meadow was, it looked so easy to walk on. The grass was long, but it was leading him to despair. It was getting him away from the true path. And sometimes the devil wants to lead us in a way that seems easier. Seems easier. But it's never easier. The way that takes us out of God's will for our lives is a hard path. It'll end up a hard path. The way of the transgressor is hard. And so we have this tendency to wander. Because we have a tendency to wander, we need this good shepherd to take us in the paths of righteousness. We also have an inability to navigate. A sheep aren't like homing pigeons or cats or dogs. These creatures have an instinct for home, an instinct for finding the way to safety. These creatures have a good sense of direction, but a sheep doesn't have a good sense of direction. And we are like the sheep. We just struggle to find our own way. We struggle at times to understand what's going on. Just look at what's going on in the world at this time. We struggle to understand it all. We struggle to see the hand of providence, to see the hand of God. We look at our lives with problems that we're faced with, and we just don't know what to do. And we have this inability to navigate and to make sense of it all. Life so often is like a puzzle, and we just can't fit those missing pieces in. And that's why we need the good shepherd to lead us these paths of righteousness. The leadership of the guide. So here we are. We have this tendency to wander. We have an inability to navigate. And that's why we need a good guide. Now, these paths that David is talking about, they were the paths with which he was familiar. That's his background. That's his illustration. Whenever he was a boy looking after the shepherd, and by the way, he was the youngest of his father's household, he was minding the sheep. Because very often, that job always went to the youngest of the family. It was not the most glamorous of jobs. It was a job just for the youngest boy in the household. Put him out there. And whenever Samuel, a prophet, came to visit, David wasn't even thought of. Jesse didn't even bring David in because David was the despised one. He was only the shepherd. And the Lord is our shepherd, and he is the one that is despised by so many, despised by the world. And yet he is the one that is crowned King of Kings, the shepherd king. And he is the one who leads us in these paths of righteousness. But whenever David was out looking after his father's flock, he was not in fields and clothes like what we would have. He was with his sheep free ranging out there in the countryside. He was looking for the best pastures. He was looking for places to water his flock. He was leading them. He was sleeping out with them. And he knew the way. And there weren't paths as in we would think paths to be, well-trodden paths. There were There was territory. He knew the way. He knew where to take them. He knew how to guide them. Only he knew the way. He was the guide. And as we travel through life, we don't know the way. We don't know the direction. But the Lord knows the way. And he knows how to guide us in the right paths. Morecambe Sands, in the northwest of England, is a notoriously dangerous place. Some of you will remember the terrible tragedy that took place in the sands in the year 2004 when Chinese cockle pickers were out there on the mud flats and they were drowned. They didn't know the terrain. They didn't know the sands. The tide was out. It looked all fine, but then the tide rushed in. They didn't know how to get back. And they were tragically drowned. In 1548, and that's going back a long time, the Royal Guide to the Sands was appointed. And in the centuries since, there has been a person appointed by royalty to be the official guide across Morecambe Sands. Cedric Robinson was a very famous person who quite recently had that accolade. For over 50 years, until he retired at the age of 86, it is reckoned he guided 500,000 people across the Morecambe Sands, and his walks became internationally famous. Of course, he was raised in the sands, and because he was raised in the sands, he knew them like the back of his hand. He knew where the soft sand was, where the quicksand was. He knew where the dangerous places were. He knew the tides and he knew the wind, and he could get travellers from one end of those sands to the other in complete safety. He knew the path. And those treacherous sands are just like this world, because there are sinking sands and there are pitfalls and there is the tide that rushes in. There's so much uncertainty out there. But we have a shepherd who knows the path. He knows the path from one end to the other. He knows the end of the path. He knows the beginning of the path. He knows every pitfall, he knows every danger, every difficulty that we will ever face in this world, in the future. He has already been there before. There's nothing that he does not feel, there's nothing he does not suffer, there's nothing he does not plan. There's no situation in which he does not orchestrate over. And he's the shepherd through the terrain. He's the shepherd of life. In 2 Samuel 22 and the verse 31, we read, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of God is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." And in Proverbs 16, verse 9, we read, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." And it's a blessing to know, as we look ahead, whatever the following months bring, I have a shepherd, one I love so well. He leads us, who guides us, who knows where he is going. He always knows where he is going. Let's just think finally upon the reliability of his paths. These paths are called paths of righteousness. Coming back to Morecambe Sands, if you're in the company of the guide, I wouldn't like to be out in those sands myself, but it's something I wouldn't mind doing at some stage, to go out in those sands with a reliable guide. I think it must be quite an experience. And you would feel safe when you're with the guide. You would feel absolutely safe. Here's somebody who knows the way. And whenever we stay close to the shepherd, and it comes back to this point I made last time, the importance of staying close to the shepherd. To be there when he tells us to lie down in green pastures. To be there when he brings us to the still waters. And to be there that we might always be in these paths of righteousness. And if we are not close to him, to hear his voice, we'll not walk in those paths of righteousness. We need to hear the call of the shepherd. In Isaiah 43 and verse 16, we read, "Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters." He maketh a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. That's a reference to the children of Israel going through the Red Sea. When the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, the Lord didn't take the Red Sea away, but he made a path through the Red Sea. And that's very often how it is for us in life. Sometimes we long for miracles, but the miracle is not the removal of the problem. Problem is always still there. But he makes a way through. He never fails to do that. Just the same way he took the children of Israel through the Red Sea, so the Lord takes us through the difficulties in life. He always finds a way through because he's the expert shepherd. His paths are paths of righteousness. They're good paths. They're never paths of sin. If we're tempted to do something, we know it's wrong. We know we shouldn't be doing it. That's not the Lord's way. We know it's not the Lord's way. It's not a righteous way. Oh, how we need to have an ear for God's word, that we might walk in these paths for his name's sake. It would be dishonoring for the shepherd to take his flock to a place of danger where they will suffer. That would give the shepherd a bad name. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Brethren and sisters, let's stay close to the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you know the Lord today? Is he your shepherd? Are you trusting him? Have you given him your heart? Oh, I pray that you will do that, that you will come to know him at this time. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the word of God. We thank you for these encouragements through your word. We pray that you will write it upon our hearts. We pray for the Sunday school. We thank you for the learning. And as the children, young people receive their prizes, we pray you'll bless them richly. Continue with us for Christ's sake. Amen. We'll call upon our brother Ian to come now and distribute the prizes for the Sunday school.
I suspect the children didn't mind a few extra weeks to get prepared for it, and maybe the parents didn't mind a few extra weeks either. So it took place, say, the first week in February. We had 35 children and young people taking the exam this year, and that was fairly evenly split across the junior and the senior end of the Sunday school. We had 18 children being examined on the child's catechism from the junior end, and then from the senior end we had 17 young people been examined on the shorter catechism. Now, the exam consists of various aspects. We have, well, through their life in Sunday school, they do about 10 different portions of Scripture. So each year, they're examined on one of those portions of Scripture.